Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but 2017 brings about so much uncertainty, especially since we just had an election in 2016 unlike no other. And so you wonder, will God continue to protect America in 2017? Well, my friend, God's protection of nations and protection of people as individuals is often, not all the times, but often conditional. But if you have your doubts, if you have questions, you have come to the right place. Welcome to our sanctuary, a sanctuary for skeptics and doubters, a place where people can disagree and still be treated with respect. And this sanctuary is 12 years old. Yes, welcome to the first show of the new year, the beginning of the 13th season of the Bob Siegel Show. These past 3 weeks, we've been on Christmas hiatus. The show did broadcast, but they were all repeats. Even last week, on New Year's Day, Sunday, a repeat. But today, I'm back in the studio with a brand spanking new program. And what better way to kick off the new season? What better way to celebrate our longevity for whatever amount of time Christians will be permitted to express themselves freely in this republic fast fading away and transforming itself into an oligarchy? What better way to start the year 2017 than to be joined by my good friend and rotating co-host, Jim Barrier. Jim, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bob. That was an amazing introduction. I'm rotating myself right now. and some of that is my head is still spinning from the events of 2016, and I hope we can address
or the events of any of the few days in the first week of 2017. It continues to make our heads spin.
Amazing. And I know you're not a big sports guy, but I just want to say congratulations to all of the NFL teams that won during the wild card round, none of whom are teams moving to L.A. next year.
Well, I don't follow sports as well as some of my co-hosts do, but I'm glad he's here to make it look like we're a well-rounded program.
Oh, we are. We are. So what a crazy year, huh?
I'm still waiting for the 20th. I do believe Obama will step down. I've expressed, I've said from the beginning that I believe he will, but I've also said from the beginning, and I'm going to say this more emphatically than ever, there is nothing about this man that makes me think he isn't sitting around thinking of different possibilities. Everything about the way he talks sounds like somebody who plans to stay around. Now, he's admitted that he does plan to stay around. He's not going to leave Washington. He's going to do everything he can to subvert Trump. But I believe the day will come when sometime in the future, whether near or far, whether it's through a whistleblower or other uncovered documents or other WikiLeaks, we're going to see different scenarios that Obama was postulating to declare martial law. This thing with the Russians, his epiphany that the Russians are an enemy, this epiphany that he seems to have had only after Trump won the election, that would make a good one. I do think he's going to step down, but boy, I would be 100% surprised if he hasn't been thinking and clinging at the last minute to every possibility.
What do you think about, for instance, the abstention in the UN vote, and the United States, displayed tremendous world leadership by saying, "Oh, we don't know, we don't care," and then pulling back all of the aircraft carriers. Those two things concerned me.
Well, not only that, but a lot of people don't realize that the UN, we understood that the UN was going to make that vote. Egypt was going to be a large part of it. Trump contacted Egypt and told them that a lot of funding was going to get withdrawn, or he said something to them, I'm guessing. He said, hey, you know how much money we give to Egypt every year? You know how much money we give to the United States? Egypt withdrew it. They took it off the table, and the Obama administration put it back on. They've lied through their teeth and said they haven't, but the Israeli sources and Benjamin Netanyahu say they have absolutely proof. They're not even going to bother to disclose it until Trump becomes president. Guess which ones I believe? Obama's been caught in so many lies, he rivals Pinocchio. I believe the Israelis.
Yeah, I do too. But that whole scenario of one kind of vilifying Israel like we never have before in this nation's history. And then the thing with the Navy and the aircraft carriers, all of those things, I thought, that's got a lot of potential, to give Obama an opportunity.
Oh, yeah. The world's worst villain, Israel, is on the loose. I better declare martial law. Here's a state no bigger than the state of New Jersey.
Exactly.
And every country from Australia to New Zealand to Botswana to Venezuela cares about what's going on in this tiny piece of real estate. Boy, when the Bible says God chose that land and that it would be instrumental in world affairs, and you know me, I'm not one of these people that predicts when the second coming of Christ is going to be, but we do know that there's going to be a lot of prophecy and a lot of history associated with this. And of course, the terrorists have been emboldened by Obama. So we had the worst terror attack in Israel that we've had in the last year. I'm not one, Jim, who likes to say that a politician that does something reckless has blood on their hands, because I believe that the terrorists that actually did the killing is the one responsible. But Obama has got to be the biggest pea brain this side of the Mississippi, which I don't think he is. I think he's a very calculated, intelligent person, but an evil person, or at least somebody who's done evil things. Whether or not he's 100% evil is between him and God, but he's done evil things. And I believe that he knew that terrorism would be emboldened. It's not that he necessarily wanted to see that, but he wasn't going to let a terrorist attack in Israel interrupt his plans and the things he wants to do to this world and the things he wants to do with the United Nations. And I do believe that he is somewhat responsible for this last terrorist attack, even though the primary person was the guy that drove the car and ran the people over.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, and that buffoon John Kerry is responsible, too.
Oh my gosh. See if there's no end.
Yeah, well, Obama is very intelligent. Kerry's a blithering idiot. They're a lethal combination.
You know, and by the way, when you said, biggest pea brain the west of the Mississippi.
Well, I guess that's a strange thing, biggest pea brain. But
I want to remind
you. We should say smallest pea brain.
I live in Texas, and you live in California, so there's a lot of candidates up there.
Hey, the last time you were on, or one of the recent times you were on, I told you that my son might be moving to Texas. That might has turned into a definite. So, they're moving out, and they're moving out in just a few weeks. Somewhere in the Waco area, not necessarily in Waco itself. I know everybody knows Waco because of that horrible incident years ago, but I guess it's a real live, honest-to-goodness city that people truly live in.
It is, and it's not too far north of where I live, so it's a nice little community.
I hope the two of you get a chance to meet. I've actually told them about you and told them a lot of good things about you, and I hope the two of you get a chance to interact.
Absolutely. We need to do that. So now, what will be Barack Hussein Obama's legacy? Not what you and I think. I know how we're going to look back, but how will, as a whole, the historians and the people reporting, maybe 10 years, 12, 15, 20 years from now, when they look back, how will he be viewed? What do you think?
Well, Jim, let me preface my response by saying I'm a great lover of science fiction, especially time travel. So which alternate quantum realities version of history do you want? Do you want the version where Western civilization doesn't survive because its history gets rewritten in the tradition of 1984 and what George Orwell tried to talk about, in which case he'll be this great hero. Or do you want to be optimistic and say maybe there's an alternate quantum reality where Western civilization does survive, America gains some much-needed sanity, and the truth is disclosed? Which version do you want to hear?
Well, unfortunately, I've been hearing a new term lately. It used to be we were in the postmodern era. Now they're saying we're in the post-fact era.
I agree. Our Dennis Prager put it best. He said we had the age of enlightenment, the age of reason, we're the age of stupidity.
Yeah. And so fact, truth, you know, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. Seems to be the way of it. So I'm a little bit cynical, a little bit skeptical. I'm afraid I don't have great hope, aside from, and you and I talk about this, aside from a genuine spiritual awakening in this country and in this people, I don't know that our future is going to get a whole lot better. I think we're better off with the way the election turned out than it could have been, but as far as truth and reality and those things, it hasn't looked good in the 65 years that I've roamed this planet.
Well, you know what? I shouldn't be on the radio if I'm not willing to tell the truth, whether the truth ever gets told by historians or not. If the truthful legacy is mentioned, I would have to say that Dinesh D'Souza did the best job of recapping it to us. Obama was somebody who, and there may have been a lot of sincerity associated with this, grew up believing that America was an evil, wicked, expansionist, imperialist, colonialist power. And as far as foreign policy goes, his goal was to take us down a peg or two or three or 15, mm-hmm. and so that we are no longer a superpower. As far as domestic policy goes, he wanted redistribution of wealth because of all the evil things in our heritage.
Yeah.
We have
yeah.
the heritage of slavery, the heritage of Jim Crow laws, which is a horrible stain on our heritage. But
right.
we have a lot of civil rights activists that don't want to admit that things have gotten a lot better. We're always going to have racists as long as we have human beings, but we don't have legalized institutional racism anymore, and we have a lot of people who get a lot of mileage out of acting like we still have it. And so if civilization, good civilization, survives, I think he'll go down in history as the worst president we ever had, even worse than Jimmy Carter, and I never thought the day would come when I could say something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, for Star Wars fans, they might relate him to Emperor Palpatine, who was around when we were still a republic barely and started doing a lot of executive order. I love democracy. I plan to step down when this crisis is averted. I'm not doing a very good Emperor Palpatine, but you get the point. We'll be right back.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined today by my good friend, Jim Barrier. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Thanks. Did we just have MacArthur Park by Richard Harris?
We had the only part of MacArthur Park that's worthy of being played on the radio. Richard Harris is a wonderful actor, I should say.
Yeah.
Singing, it wasn't quite Gene Kelly with Singing in the Rain.
Well,
and it's a weird song. Someone left the cake out in the rain. And
it was in the psychedelic era.
So yeah, it was in the 60s when you weren't supposed to. But that musical interlude, you've probably noticed on my show, I kind of like to play a lot of the music between songs, the bridges, the interludes. So yes, that was MacArthur Park, and the part of it that I love and the only part anybody should love.
Well, since we're on pop culture, and since you closed the last segment with an attempt at an Emperor Palpatine impression, two questions.
I've got to work on it. I think I could be better if I work on it a little bit. Not today so much. But.
Yeah. What was your favorite film of 2016, and what was your review on Rogue One?
Yeah, you know, I actually didn't see a lot of new films in 2016. You might have to refresh me because I know there were some that I liked and they're not jumping to my mind, but I liked Rogue One. I liked Rogue One better than The Force Awakens. Part of it was because since it was a different story in the Star Wars universe, they didn't have all these obligated appearances that they had to have. Although there were some fun guest cameo appearances of the lesser known characters that anybody who's seen A New Hope would really enjoy. I liked it. My only critique, and it was well written, it was well acted, my only critique is that here they had a chance to do something really creative and unusual, and they still kind of wrote around the edges of the Star Wars stories as if they're afraid to try to depart from that. And it was a wonderful movie, Jim, but frankly, there was not a lot of suspense in my life over how they stole the plans from the Death Star. It was not a story I needed to see. Having said that, they did a fantastic job with it.
I kind of feel the same way. It was very entertaining. I personally liked it better than Force Awakens, and I would trade Rogue One for all three of the prequels that were made.
I've got to give a shout to, I thought the third of the prequels he did a good job. The first two, not as well. But
You know what, though?
I liked any of the prequels better than Return of the Jedi. The Return of the Jedi had a fantastic beginning with the rescue from Jabba the Hutt, had a fantastic ending. It had no middle. It was stuffed with Ewoks, teddy bears. Now,
marketing, my friend, marketing.
Yes. Well, and Lucas himself has admitted in the director's cut that he only had a little bit of a story left, and they padded it out. Now, most of the problem people have with the Phantom Menace is they can't stand Jar Jar Binks. Neither can I. If I were to compare Jar Jar Binks to the cute Ewoks, and they were cute, I like the Ewoks better than I like Jar Jar, but Jar Jar, only in the first half of the movie, was he obnoxiously ruining it. After Anakin Skywalker, as the young boy, came into Phantom Menace, Jar Jar took a back seat. And it wasn't really as much about him. The Ewoks, although they were more tolerable than Jar Jar, were just in too much of it. And that's why I have to put Return of the Jedi so far on the very bottom. Although, again, fantastic beginning, fantastic ending. The problem was the middle. And a story does have to have a middle.
Well, you know, I think George had one good story in him, and that was the first film. And after that, he ran out of ideas and continued to write himself into corners he couldn't get out of.
Well, the story kept changing because when he I do believe him when he says that he originally had this big epic and that he started his story in the middle and wanted to test a self-contained story. You did get the feeling when you watched Star Wars back in 77 before it was even retitled A New Hope.
Right.
You did get the feeling that they'd started in the middle. You were very curious to hear about the age of the Jedi and the, you know, and how the Emperor had taken over. When Empire Strikes Back came out and everybody was surprised that it was being called Movie 5 rather than Movie 2, he said he had these 9 movies, 3 different trilogies. He was going to go on and do Return of the Jedi, then he was going to make the prequel. And he said all kinds of things that he never did, which I think would have been a better story. He said in an interview that the identity of the other would not be revealed in Jedi. He said that the Emperor would not even be in Jedi, that the Empire wouldn't be destroyed till the last 3 movies. He said none of the characters will be in all 9 of the movies except for the robots. He said that Jedi would conclude the story of Luke Skywalker. That all changed. And then he says, well, we're done. We're not going to make any more. And then years later, he goes and he makes the prequels after ruining some of the originals by upgrading the special effects and then changing dialogue along the way.
To me, that's right up there with colorizing a black and white classic film. Leave it alone. It was fine. But
it's political correctness at its finest. It even gets into the arts. Lucas and Spielberg make movies about good versus evil, but politically they can't seem to recognize good and evil. And so in the change of Star Wars, Greedo shoots first so that Han Solo can't surprise him, even though Solo knew he was about to be killed. And my favorite was E.T. the Extraterrestrial with the policemen at the end that were chasing Elliot and E.T.
They showed
guns. They removed all the guns and had the policemen on walkie-talkies instead. I mean, it's insanity. And they're both with all their flaws, they are brilliant directors, brilliant producers. But boy, the political correctness, it just seeps in everywhere.
Well, I think we've seen on many levels what happens to movie people, music people, any celebrity people, if they don't toe the line with political correctness, their career takes a huge hit. And that's we see it a lot with people. Anyone that takes a stand about something or anyone that, didn't support Hillary, or whatever it is. And so that's one of the problems we have. I'll be curious to see in the wake of the recent election, which, not only did Hillary lose, because that's kind of how I prefer
she
to look
lost,
at it.
She lost, and she lost huge.
But the Democrats lost a lot of seats. They lost some governorships. They lost a lot of elected officials. So there was clearly a mandate given by the American people. It wasn't just on the presidential election. It was the whole sweeping thing. And so whether things like political correctness and anti-Israel and the different things that have gone, the very anti-Christian sentiment that has become pervasive. We'll see if those things will change. And by the way, I heard recently that the president has claimed that race in America
is better. It's better. Better under him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'll tell one. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Bob Siegel Show, and my co-host today is Jim Barrier. Jim, as you were talking about Hollywood, you know, we sometimes have the TV set on here in the studio and the sound is off, but I looked up, and I kid you not, once you brought up Hollywood, I looked up and realized the Golden Globes are on tonight. And I should say, I may be critical of some of the things certain actors in Hollywood do politically, but I love the Golden Globes. I love the Tonys. I love the Emmys. I love the Oscars. I try to watch them. I love the arts. I was a drama major when I was in college. But you did get me thinking about something, Jim. As I'm listening to the people, some politicians, some activists, a lot of people in Hollywood, and I'm listening to the spin in this last month and a half since Trump won. Let me see if I'm understanding their logic. Correct me if I'm mistaken. It began with, well, Hillary won the popular vote, and the Electoral College ought to be retired. Then it turned into, let's do a recount. Well, we're not going to recount the states where Hillary was closer, was won, but it was close. We're going to recount where Trump won, but it was close. Then in the recount, it turns out that Trump wins by even more. So then it's Hollywood actors talking to the Electoral College, which a week before was this tired institution that we should retire because it's archaic. And they're saying, now, you know, our wise forefathers put the Electoral College in place because sometimes the populace doesn't know what's good for them, and you'll have my respect. I'm in Hollywood, and wouldn't you need my respect? You'll have my respect if you'll act as a fail-safe and don't vote for the will, because, you know, in your states, the popular vote did win state by state, and you're the Electoral College, and so you've got a duty to save our country. And then we had the Electoral College vote, and there were, of course, some threats. And these are by the same people who, through Hillary, their surrogate, had told Trump during the last debate, we hope you're going to be a good sport and concede the election and not right. talk about fraud when you lose, she practically said. And now this is the same camp that's contesting everything. Well, the Electoral College, despite some threats and a few switcheroos from a few cowardly Kurds, nevertheless votes Trump in. And now we're hearing from Hollywood again, and it's, well, who said anything about the Electoral College anyway? After all, let me remind you again, Hillary won the popular vote. Oh my, it never, ever ends, and I don't think it will. I think for the next 4 years, they're going to dog him at every single turn.
They will. And by the way, when they did that with the Electoral College, a couple of them did change their vote and didn't vote for Hillary when they were supposed to.
I know. It didn't quite go the way they wanted it to.
It was a total fiasco.
Well, like I said, we weren't taking a popular vote. If the rules had been popular vote, then Trump would have campaigned in California. And Hillary would have campaigned in Texas because they know that regardless of one state being blue and one being red, they need to persuade as many people as they can. It's like I love the analogy. You're a sports guy. The analogy of the World Series. Okay, in the World Series, the team that wins 4 out of the 7 games wins the World Series. Well, what the team that only won 3 games in one of their games that had a blowout where they got like 20 runs. And if you counted up all the runs at the end, they had the popular vote. But who wins the World Series? The team that won the 4. Why? Because those are the rules, and those were the rules everybody agreed to before they played in the World Series.
Cubs win. That was my Harry Carey.
Yeah, okay. and Back to the Future 2 predicted it and was only off by 1 year.
Well, and I'd like to segue, because I hope we can talk a little bit about going into this year ahead of us.
But absolutely.
Let me just list a few names to you, and I know you will know what they all have in common. Ollie, Arnie, Fidel, Nancy, Prince, Zsa Zsa.
Yes, well, the term glittering jewels of colossal ignorance come to my mind.
Well, they're all people that passed away in 2016.
I thought you were talking about their political views. I'm sorry.
No.
I don't. I'm sorry, Fidel. Because you're right. I had not heard about Zsa Zsa. I had heard about Muhammad Ali. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I should apologize because if I had realized you were paying homage to some people that passed away, I wouldn't have said that.
It was pop culture. We do cover pop culture in this show.
Yes, we do. And you were taking a switch off of politics, and my mind was still on politics. I humbly apologize. I profusely apologize because, yes, and those people did lead very interesting careers. I thought I heard you say, you said Nancy, though. I thought you were talking about Nancy Pelosi when you said that, and she hasn't passed away.
Nancy Reagan.
Nancy Reagan.
The Nancy
see,
that I
see,
like.
When you put the word Nancy in there, my mind went to Pelosi.
Okay. No, no.
And of course, she hasn't passed away.
Well,
and I don't want her to pass away. I wouldn't mind if she passed away through the door of the House of Representatives and went home and stayed in San Francisco. That would be fine with me.
Well, I like what Dennis Miller said. He said, you know, she sleeps in the closet upside down. So I don't.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, now maybe we can move into 2017. And let me just give you, I want to give you this quick little promo. Upcoming film in 2017, The Bourne Redundancy.
I read this on your Facebook page. It was hilarious. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Jason Bourne realizes he is not who he is supposed to be, and even the good guys are bad guys, so he's not sure if he's a good guy or a bad guy. So he seeks a religious experience to find himself, only to lose himself and become Jason Bourne again.
No, that was good. That was a good one. I liked reading that on Facebook.
I just had this moment of inspiration.
Well, if any of you haven't been going to Jim Barrier's Facebook page, you're missing some good quips like that.
I put a lot of goofy stuff on there. Some of it's confusing for people because they also see up in the corner that I'm a pastor. And so
don't think pastors could have senses of humor and can laugh and can talk about movies and sports. So that's why we like breaking the stereotype here. We'll be back and break some more stereotype. This is Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church.
Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points. Skyline Church at 94 in Hamishaw, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Right now at home and say, I just can't figure Siegel out. He's so critical of the political viewpoints at Hollywood, and yet he's such a sentimental sap. He even plays these musicals like West Side Story for bumper music. I do love the arts, and I should say, Jim and I and other guests and I, when we talk about politics, when we talk about public figures, I do believe that in a democracy and a republic, public figures' feet need to be held to the fire. If they have bad policies or evil policies or stupid policies, they should be called what they are. I am also very aware, though, that many of you out there, and you should know, I'm a conservative. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. You may be out there. You may be a Democrat. You may call yourself a liberal. And I know a lot of you hold those views very sincerely. I believe in a God that looks at people's hearts and looks at people's motives. And I may disagree with some of your conclusions, but you might have a heart and a motive that that would put mine to shame, even though I constantly try to re-examine my heart and re-examine my motive, at least. But just so that you know, we'll hold politicians' feet to the fire. But we have had callers call in, and we have done debates with people who disagree with us, and they are treated very respectfully. Because I respect the right of anybody to disagree. That was a disclaimer that I thought I should give, especially when Jim was trying to give a nice eulogy and I jumped to politics right away. So I felt a little convicted and felt I should give that disclaimer.
Okay. No harm, no foul. Someone said, only a fool takes offense when none is intended.
So, there we go.
Now, I
didn't fix my show as good as George Lucas fixed his movie by having Greedo shoot first, but I made my attempt.
Hey, Greedo was pretty ugly. I would have shot first. So, okay.
There's some alien defamation league out there somewhere.
Wow. Yeah. Now I'm probably gonna get some letters from the fans of Greedo.
We don't even have to discover alien life. There may be somebody in our country that just feels that they're from the planet Pluto, and if that's the way they feel and that's who they think they are, who are we to judge?
Now here's a question. If whether Greedo drew first or not, and if he was a bounty hunter or whatever, was he an illegal alien? I don't know.
Yeah, there was. I don't think at Mos Eisley spaceport there's a whole lot of legality going. We are really labeling ourselves as the sci-fi nerds today, aren't we? Well, if I don't do it with Star Trek, I do it with Star Wars. I fall into it one way or the other.
Well, I love the genre, and I love the arts, and I knew that was tonight from West Side Story, by the way.
Well, then you're just as much of a girly man who loves Broadway melodies as I am.
I don't know. I'm going to blame my mother. When I grew up, she loved the musicals, and she played them on the record player all the time. And my wife's always cracking up because I know all of the songs from South Pacific and all of those films, you know, because I heard it. I was brainwashed, so that's my excuse.
And yet you can talk about the Cubs and probably smoke a cigar with the best of them.
Oh,
well, you're a pastor. You're a pastor. You probably don't smoke cigars.
I do smoke cigars.
You do?
My congregation knows it.
Well, good for you. Let's break that stereotype. I don't smoke cigars, but that's only because I don't care for them. I do not have a moral problem with smoking cigars, I should say.
No, and in fact, I've said I'm for strengthen our relationships with Cuba with three conditions, maybe four. One is that they guarantee human rights for their people. The other is we get their cigars, all their antique cars, and their baseball players.
You're reminding me of an episode of Seinfeld where somebody promised Kramer that he'd get him some real Cubans, and he brought in actual Cuban people. Those were the Cubans he
brought in some Cubans. That's funny.
Only Seinfeld.
Gosh. I like Cuban sandwiches, too. Let me ask you
You mean a cigar sandwich or a cannibal sandwich? I'm getting confused here.
We're all over the place. I had a line. I'm going to leave it alone.
Okay.
what's going to happen this year? One, my first question, will the Republicans successfully repeal Obamacare? What do you think?
It's going to depend. Now, Trump is just, again, he's such a mixed bag. So far, he's keeping a lot of his campaign promises, and he's draining the swamp a lot quicker than some of us would have thought. I always get nervous when he talks about reaching across the aisle with Charles Schumer, even though he took a shot at Schumer on Twitter. And I do believe we'll at least see a lot of Obamacare repealed. Now, the challenge, of course, is the Democrats are going to come forth and tell the story of little 8-year-old Sally who has leukemia, and as if the Republicans wouldn't provide to take care of somebody like that, which they certainly would. But we're going to hear those kinds of stories. I think that'll happen, though. I'm a little nervous because the Republicans had the opportunity to repeal it already. They could have defunded it. But you know, Obama gives this speech about how he's reaching across the aisle. You were talking about the Democrats being in the minority party and having lost so many elections. But, Jim, you got to understand how Washington works. When Democrats win, the coined phrase is elections have consequences. Suck it up, Republicans. When they lose, what it really means is that the American people want bipartisanship and the Republicans have an obligation to work with us. So it's just going to depend. Now, Trump is the kind of crusty person that's not going to worry about what the New York Times says, but he's also the kind of person that loves all this talk about the art of the deal. I don't want to hear too much about he's very pro-Israel right now, but he's been educated very recently about Israel. He has not known a lot about it. I would be a little nervous if he talked about how he's going to make the deal of a lifetime between the Israelis and the Palestinians, because the Palestinians in their own charter will not even recognize Israel's right to exist. When they talk about an occupation, they mean all of Israel. They do not mean the West Bank. People don't realize that. I'm a little nervous about the Supreme Court justice. If he comes in and says, well, you know what? I reached across the aisle, and I don't have a liberal. I don't have a conservative. I have a moderate. So everybody should be. There's no such thing as a moderate anymore.
Yeah.
The only kind of moderate we might have is somebody who's read three of Karl Marx's books and not four. Those are today's moderate. So, you know, I'm a little nervous about Trump and his deals. Okay, I'll come back and get a little more nervous when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who've shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen. Since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Valduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. Bobsiegel.net.
Jim, I don't remember if we've had you guess this one before. Who's playing right now? We might have given you this once before. I don't remember.
Man, I was totally lost there, and I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, well, then even if we did give it to you before, win-win on our side. That's ZZ Top.
Oh, man. That was not ZZ Top.
It was ZZ Top as they appeared in Back to the Future 3, keeping with our staying in the borders of the arts.
There you go, man. Okay, you know, I might have watched Back to the Future 3 one time, and I'm pretty tough on sequels and sequels of sequels. About the only trilogy that I really, really liked in its entirety was The Lord of the Rings.
Well, because The Lord of the Rings was designed to be a trilogy from the beginning, and they didn't make more just because it made money.
And yet I have friends that are such Tolkien freaks that they don't like the films because they didn't stick word for word and page for page.
Well,
the book.
Usually I'm more on the side of the book than the movie, too. However, and I did read The Lord of the Rings, but it was back when I was a sophomore in high school. So fortunately, the things that were changed, I just didn't remember, with a few exceptions. I thought they were phenomenal movies, though, and I really loved all three of them. Particularly the Return of the King and the way they wrapped it all up. I thought it was fantastic.
I did, too. I think five endings is plenty.
Now, I will say this for Back to the Future. Three was better than two. Two was horrible, but three kind of redeemed it because a lot of the things they left unraveled in two, three tied up. But, of course, if they had stopped after one, they would have had a classic motion picture and flawless motion.
I still watch that. I still watch that one sometimes.
I think I can. Okay. I think I can do George McFly better than I do. Now, Biff, I want two full coats of wax on that car. I think that was a little better than my Emperor Palpatine, at least.
Okay, very good. And there's another quirky star for you.
Oh my gosh! I heard that the real star, what you saw as George McFly, was that guy toned down.
Yeah. I've seen him in a couple of other films, and he's pretty quirky.
Crispin Glover, that was his name.
That's the guy.
Oh, but my goodness, we'd never seen a character like that in the movies, and it was just a delightful movie to watch.
It was a fun movie. Okay, we've only got a few minutes left, folks.
Boy, the way we bounce between politics.
That's what I love about this show.
You know, Hollywood, we throw God in once in a while just for good measure, you know.
Yeah. Okay, I have a couple of predictions for the year.
Okay.
And we already covered one. I predict that.
Well, what do you think? Do you think Obamacare will get repealed, or do you think part of it will? What is your prediction on that?
I think they're going to have to come up with a plan to replace it with something. Now, what I do think, like him or not, the guy knows business, and he has been surrounding himself with a team. I think he's going to get people to come in to help him when he doesn't know everything.
I do agree. That's one of his, I have heard from so many people, and like I think I've told you before, Pastor Jim Garlow of my church has gotten to know Donald Trump and is becoming one of the people around him. And I'm also hearing from pundits that he really does listen, and that the persona you see in a lot of these rallies, he's very different in a one-on-one situation, and he does listen. So it just depends on whether he's listening to the right people at this point.
Yeah, and which is better than just being hiring a bunch of yes men.
Better than being so conceited and so arrogant and such a narcissist that you know what the American sheep need better than they do. So you're going to take them by the hand and lead them where they don't want to go.
Yeah, no matter what anybody says.
Exactly.
So I hope that he will. I think that Obamacare thing to me is what Obama's legacy will be. That he passed the worst healthcare program ever.
And lied through his teeth to pass it. He lied on every turn with it.
Now, what I do not believe will happen, and I'm not a big fan of Ted Cruz. Forgive me for saying that on a conservative talk show. But he's pushing for term limits now, which Uncle Ron did his whole administration and was never able to get it done, that being Ronald Reagan.
Well, now, regardless of how you feel about Cruz, how do you feel about term limits if they could get that pushed through?
Oh, I've been a proponent of that probably since as long as I've been a Reagan follower, which was at least in 76 when he lost in the primaries.
I am for them, and while they're on a roll, can we have some term limits for the Supreme Court?
Yes, absolutely.
Nobody should have that much power. Good grief. A lifetime appointment? Oh, my goodness.
I agree completely. So I'm in favor of it. I just don't think they'll be able to get it pushed through because even with Republicans, there's too many of those guys who are saying, wait a minute, you want me to vote myself out of a job?
Exactly. But our going back to the forefathers again, they meant for the politicians to be temporary jobs, and then people go back to... And our first president, George Washington, took the job kicking and screaming because after the Revolutionary War, he just wanted to go back home to Virginia and be a farmer.
Which
made him a better president. The fact that he didn't want to be president made him a pretty good president because there was some humility, and he didn't take himself that seriously.
That was a long time ago. I came around shortly after his term, but... you know, I worry about people that are supposed to be representing me when they have no clue what it's like to be in the normal flow, the stream of citizenship. You know, it's crazy the way this thing's evolved. But I don't think it's going to happen. But that would be my biggest wish would be that someone could pass term limitations on elected officials and, as you say, even the Supreme Court. I would like to predict that there will be a new smartphone come out within the next 12 months that will make mine obsolete. That's my bold prediction.
There's an easy one for you. That's like predicting that after you eat Chinese food, your fortune cookie says you will be hungry 1 hour from now.
Yeah, and as I think I said last month, you know, they have the North Korean food, and you become
hungry. Oh, boy. Yeah, you're going to go over that cliff again. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I think the space race will accelerate because China now is jumping into that with a lot of energy, and the Russians are back to being a greater world power than I am comfortable with, and I think we're going to have to step up in the space race or seriously jeopardize our national security related to those things. So I think we're going to see perhaps a revival in interest in the space race, and if they can just sell it to the American people and explain why it is important, because I know there are people who think what's the big deal? What do we need rocks from the moon for? But I think.
But that wouldn't it be fascinating if you owned a piece of rock from the moon? I'd love to have. You know, I'm a big believer in the space race because I believe man needs to keep reaching out. It's in our nature. And it takes some of that energy that could go to war and puts it toward other kinds of industry. So I'm a big believer in that. Well, Jim, time went by far too fast again. We'll have you back next month. And since February is a short month, we'll probably have you back sooner than you think.
That'll be awesome. I look forward to it.
Okay, my friend. Right. Happy New Year.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.